Let us humbly bow our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, come before you on this your holy Sabbath day. Give glory and praise to your name. To Father, commune with you, and to thank you, Father, for watching over your people, for gathering us together, Father, and for protecting us. We know, Father, that this world is going to go further into an uproar and into darker days ahead. And we know, Father, that you will watch over and protect the people, that you've called us out of this sinful world, Father, into your marvelous life. So help us, Father, as we prepare our hearts to receive your implanted word, that your word would have free course within us, and that you would cause us, Father, to draw closer to you, because we love you, Father, and you love us. That's why you've called us out of this world. We ask, Father, that as we pray for this world, we pray for those that don't have a knowledge of you, that they would get a closer understanding of you and draw closer to you, Father, by putting away their sinful ways. We know, Father, that sin separates and that you cannot have any part with sinful people. So we ask, Father, that you would cause us to repent and to come to you, Father. All those that are seeking to do that which is right in your sight, all those that want a part of your kingdom, to be there, Father, with your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Help us, Father, to overcome this world and Satan the devil as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. Again, bless those throughout this world that have set themselves apart, that are sanctified, Father, for a holy purpose. And we ask, Father, that your blessing be upon each and every one of them in this ministry as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. Again, bless all those, Father, who are seeking to do that which is right in your sight. In Yahshua's holy name we pray. Hallelujah. We, the members of YPTC, value what we have. The relationship with our Father in heaven. We strive to live up to the reason this organization was founded, to feed Almighty Yahweh's sheep. Yahshua the Messiah told Peter to feed his lamb. And again he told Peter to tend his sheep. And the third time he told Peter to feed his sheep. Despite the hardship or persecution, Peter and the apostolic leadership fed Yahshua's sheep. Our goal is to fulfill the same call. And our first passage I'd like to turn to would be John chapter 21. That's John chapter 21. We'll start in verse 1. This message is entitled Intimacy with Yahweh. After these things, Yahshua manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he manifested himself on this wise. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter says to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we also come with you. They went forth and entered into the boat. That night they took nothing. But when day was now breaking, Yahshua stood on the beach. Yet the disciples knew not that it was Yahshua. Yahshua therefore says to them, children, have you anything to eat? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. The disciples, therefore, whom Yahshua loved, said to Peter, "It is the teacher." So when Simon heard that it was the teacher, he girded his coat about him, for he was naked, and cast himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits long, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got up out upon the land, they see a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Joshua says to them, "Bring of the fish which you have now taken." Simon Peter, therefore, went up and drew the net to the land, full of great fish, 153, for all there were so many. The net was not rent. Joshua says to them, "Come and break your fast." And none of the disciples dared inquire of him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was Joshua. Joshua comes and takes the bread and gives to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Joshua was manifested to the disciples after that he had risen from the dead. But when they had broken their fast, and I'm emphasizing that for a reason, okay? Joshua says to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He says to him, "Yes, Rabbi, you know that I love you." He says to him, "Feed my lambs." He says to him again, a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He says to him, "Yes, Rabbi, you know that I love you." He says to him, "Tend my sheep." He says to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Rabbi, you know all things. You know that I love you." Joshua says to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. But when you shall be old, you shall stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird you and carry you where you would not." Now this he spoke, signifying in what manner of death he should glorify Yahweh. And when he had spoken this, he says to him, "Follow me." Peter, turning about, sees the disciple whom Yahshua loved following, who also leaned back on his breast at the supper, which is the Passover, and said, "Teacher, who is he that betrays you?" Peter, therefore seeing him, says to Joshua, "Teacher, and what shall this man do?" Joshua says to him, "If I will that he stay till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." This saying, therefore, went forth among the brethren, that the disciples should not die. Yet Joshua said not to him that he should not die, but "If I will that he should stay till I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple that bears witness of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his witness is true. And there are also many other things that Joshua did, which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that should be written. Intimacy with Yahweh. When you take up the discipline of fasting, which we have, you can expect resistance, interference, and opposition. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 5. We'll look at verses 33 to 35. Luke 5, 33 to 35. "And they said to him, the disciples of John fast often and make supplication, Likewise, also the disciples of the Pharisees of yours eat and drink. Yahshua said to them, can you make the sons of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them. Then will they fast in those days. We've completed a couple 21-day fasts with this ministry recently. You can fast from anything you like, technology, computer, Facebook, movies, cell phones. I mean, you can stop doing something for a period of time and it's considered a fast, okay? It's not just not eating food or not eating certain food. You got to make Yahweh a priority in your life. We were having a discussion last night about intimacy and being able to love more than one person. And, you know, it was a very nice little conversation that was going on with me, my wife, and several of my children. And, you know, they need to hear what I'm speaking of right now because this goes along with what was being discussed last night. But we got to make Yahweh a priority in our life. In many ways to define prayer, prayer is asking. Prayer is worshiping or praising Yahweh. So that's a big part of what we do when we fast and pray. Okay? Prayer is spiritual warfare against our enemies. Look at Yahshua's life. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 9. Matthew 6, 9. And after this manner, therefore pray, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Make your name holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may be seen of men to fast. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you be not seen of men to fast, but your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret shall recompense you. Yahshua invites us to enter into an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father as an intimacy that He shared with Almighty Yahweh. Yahshua called Almighty Yahweh His Father in a term of intimacy. Fasting draws us closer to our Heavenly Father, brother. Relationships bind children to their father, but reverence binds and draws the worshiper to Yahweh. In the book that we were using for our Daniel fast, which is by Elmer Towns, it's called The Daniel Fast, Spiritual Fasting for Spiritual Breakthrough. This was like a lot of this information I'm using today was in chapter 9, okay? So you'll have some reference. Because of Yahshua, we have a new relationship because of His blood sacrifice. You must understand the sacrificial law to understand the importance of Yahshua's sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 9. start in verse 11. Hebrews 9:11. It says, "But the Messiah, having come, a high priest of the good tidings to come, through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this day, nor yet through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, entered in once and for all into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for the blood of goats and bulls, and ashes of a heifer, sprinkling them that have been defiled, sanctified to the cleanliness of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of the Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to Yahweh, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living Elohim? And for this cause is the mediator of a new covenant, that a death having taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, that they had been called, may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must of necessity be the death of him that made it. For a testament is of force where there has been death, for it does never avail while he that made it lives. Therefore, even the first covenant has not been dedicated without blood. For when every commandment had been spoken by Moses to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and of the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which Yahweh commanded toward you. Moreover, the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry he sprinkled in like manner with blood. And according to the law, I may almost say all things are cleansed with blood. And apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So blood has to be shed for a testament, for a the person that leaves the will and testament or whatever has to die so to go into force, for to be in force. So without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Yahweh found not the covenant. He found fault with the people, not the covenant. So the second covenant was given. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews 8. We'll start in verse 7. It says, for if the first covenant had been faultless, then would have no place in thought for the second. For finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they counted not, they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, says Yahweh. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says Yahweh, I will put my laws into their minds, and on their hearts will I also write them. So they're going to be in our inward parts. We're going to know the law of Yahweh inwardly. And I will be to them an Elohim, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his fellow citizen, and every man his brother, saying, know Yahweh. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and their sins will I remember no more. And that, he says, a new covenant. He has made the first old, but that which is becoming old and grows age is close to vanishing away. So what happens is that we have this relationship. We have to be in an intimate relationship with Yahweh, our Father, to be able to partake. That's why You know, you don't have to say anything to your brother because you're going to know. You'll know what Yahweh wants you to know. It's there. It's going to be written in your heart and in your mind, as the scripture says. What draws us close to our earthly Father? Is it not the love that they show us by providing our daily needs, our daily bread, the roof over our heads, and by sacrificing their dreams for ours? You think about it. That's what fathers and mothers, you know, do for their children. Almighty Yahweh gave his most precious gift, the life of his son, for his children. Turn with me to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, we'll read verses 1 to 4. Paul, a servant of Yahweh, an apostle of Yahshua the Messiah, according to the faith of Yahweh's elect and the knowledge of the truth, which is according to the righteousness and hope of eternal life, which Yahweh, who cannot lie, promised before times eternal, but in his own season manifested his word in the message with which I was entrusted according to the commandment of Yahweh, our Savior. Let us say Yahshua, our Savior, says Yahweh, our Savior, in this passage. To Titus, my true child, after a common faith, grace and peace from Yahweh the Father and the Messiah, Yahshua, our Savior. Yahweh wants to have an intimate relationship with each one of us. But we have to initiate that relationship. He's put out the call. What we have to do is answer that call faithfully and draw closer to him by keeping the covenant. And the reason we have to do that is because sin separates. If we have a sinful life, we cannot draw close to the Almighty Yahweh because he can't stand sin. Okay? Now, this is why this is so important for our young people to understand. Yahshua, who did no sin, still understood what we had to go through. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. That's Hebrews chapter 4. Having then a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Yahshua the Son of Yahweh, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but one that has in all points been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. We have become a new creature, brother, after we receive Yahshua's sacrifice, after we receive the gift of Yahweh's Holy Spirit. How can we live in sin? We can't. See, because if we violate the covenant, if we sin against Almighty Yahweh, then that barrier is placed there, and then we have no recourse. We can't, you know, continue walking with him because he cannot stand sin. So therefore, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, turn with me there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we start in verse 1. It says, for we know that if the earthly house of our tabernacle is dissolved, we have a building from Yahweh, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For truly, in this we groan, longing to be clothed upon with our habitation, which is from heaven. If so that being clothed, we shall not be found naked, For indeed, we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that which we would be unclothed, but that we would be clothed upon, that what is mortal may be swallowed up in of life. Now, he that produced us for this very thing is Yahweh, who gave us the pledge of the Spirit, which is the down payment of the Holy Spirit when we were baptized, which we have to have, being therefore always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from Yahweh. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and are willing rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with Yahweh. Therefore, we also make it our aim, whether at home or absent, to be well pleasing to him. For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of the Messiah, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. And we know, because we've been given Yahweh's Holy Spirit, drop down to verse 13. I mean 17. It says, therefore, if any man is in the Messiah, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they have become new. But all things are of Yahweh, who reconciled us to himself through the Messiah and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that Yahweh was in the Messiah reconciling the world to himself, not reckoning to them their trespasses, and having committed to us the word of reconciliation. Because if he did that, not one of us would be able to stand. Not one of us would be able to, you know, to be able to say anything, because we would be destroyed, because we were all sinful creatures. Nine points here. I want to go over. First point. First, intimacy is being there. You get intimate with Yahweh by drawing close to him. Let's look at Psalm 84. Psalm 84, verses 1 to 2, and verse 10. How amiable are your tabernacles, O Yahweh of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of Yahweh. My heart and my flesh cry out to the living El. In verse 10 it says, for a day and your courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my Elohim than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. It's important, brethren, that we understand that intimacy is a close relationship. We are intimate with our spouses. We're intimate with our family members because we love them, okay? And we have a different type of love for our wife than we do our children, but we still are intimate with each of them, okay? Yahweh wants that intimate relationship with us, and we have to give it to him by being faithful, just like a wife is to her husband, or a husband is to his wife. If we go out and commit adultery, we're not being faithful to our spouse. Just like if we do it spiritually, we're not being faithful to Almighty Yahweh. Intimacy is seeking Yahweh's presence. That's the second point. Turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Verse 4. One thing have I asked of Yahweh, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Yahweh and to inquire into his temple. That's the passage, the Psalm of David, that touches my heart. We know David had a special relationship with Almighty Yahweh. He was a man after Yahweh's own heart. To experience intimacy, the third point with Yahweh, you don't need to learn anything. Just be yourself and show him how much you love him. Love teaches you how to act and how to respond to your Heavenly Father. Isn't it the role of a father to provide necessities, the food, the clothing, the shelter to his children? Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we'll start in verse 25. Matthew 6, 25. Therefore, I say to you, be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the food, and the body than the raiment? Behold, the birds of the heaven, that they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. And your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you of much more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to the measure of his life? And why are you anxious concerning raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if Elohim does so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Be not therefore anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first his kingdom. That's what we need to do. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Be not therefore anxious for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil of it. Intimacy is a privilege to enjoy, brethren. Yahweh will listen to your request. So when you go to him in prayer, and he wants you to ask him as one of his children, he says, ask and you shall receive. Yahshua taught us and told us how to pray, that we're supposed to ask in his name, and Yahweh would give us our request. He is concerned with the desires of our hearts as well. Intimacy is learned from heaven, point number 5, not earth. Some people have no good memory of a positive relationship with their earthly fathers. You must learn to forgive any family members that have destroyed any idea of intimacy. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. Says, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Verse 14. Well, read on down. And bring us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Verse 13. And 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we have to be a forgiving people, brethren, if we are going to be in an intimate relationship with Almighty Yahweh. Number 6, let intimacy develop. Learn to be patient and wait on Yahweh for your request. Don't be like the spoiled children that must have it now. Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 14. It says, wait on Yahweh be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait on Yahweh. In Psalm 62, verse 5. My soul, wait in silence for Elohim only, for my expectation is from Him. What we expect is from Yahweh, but we have to be willing to be patient and have that intimate relationship with Him, not only through patience, brethren, but through love. Expect to grow the art of intimacy. Babies are selfish. They expect everything from their parents. If they don't get what they want, when they want it, they cry. Are you a baby in your relationship with Father Yahweh? Crying babies are not concerned if it's the middle of the night and you're asleep, you're sound asleep. They're not concerned if it's the middle of a sermon and they disrupt services, okay? Because they're babies, and that's okay, you know? The reason it's okay, you know, we have to be careful that this doesn't describe the adult, you know, that we're spoiled, that we're not able to, you know, express ourselves and better than crying babies. But as babies grow, they learn better ways to express their needs. They learn to respect others and their needs. Yahweh has given them families to teach babies how to share, how to receive, how to give and love. Babies grow into mature adults in an atmosphere of love. They grow and learn to give their earthly father respect and grow in a relational intimacy with him, as they should do with their heavenly father as well. Turn to 1 John. Chapter 4. First John 4, verse 19. We love because He first loved us. We love because He first loved us. Yahweh taught us how to love. He showed us how to love. Point number 8, true intimacy balances the tension between reverence and relationship. Yahweh is the creator of the universe. We should reverence Him, be in awe in His presence. But we have another relationship with Him that is more intimate, one of a father to his child, a loving relationship where He puts us up on His broad shoulders and carries us for a ride. Almighty Yahweh wants an intimate relationship with each and every one of us. But He wants us to show that we love Him by keeping His covenant law. Because if we violate the commandments, if we break His law, then there's a separation there. See? So you can't serve Almighty Yahweh if you're out violating the covenant. That's where the repentance comes in. And that's why we have to be repentant sinners. All men are sinners. It's just that, you know, there are some that are sorry for their sin because they heard the word and they wanted a relationship with the Heavenly Father and they've been drawn closer to Him through love. Malachi chapter 1. Turn with me there. Malachi chapter 1, and we'll start at verse 1. It says, the burden of the word of Yahweh to Israel by Malachi, I have loved you, says Yahweh. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says Yahweh, yet I loved Yaakov? But Esau I hated, and made his mountains a desolation, and gave his heritage to the jackal of the wilderness. Whereas Edom says, we are beaten down, but we will return and build the waste places. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and men shall call them the border of the wickedness, border of wickedness, and people, the people against whom Yahweh has indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and you shall say, Yahweh be magnified beyond the border of Israel. And Yahweh has been magnified beyond the border of Israel. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says Yahweh of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name. And you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer polluted bread upon my altar. And you say, in what way have we polluted you? And that you say, the table of Yahweh is contemptible. And when you offer the blind for sacrifice, it is no evil. And when you offer the lame and the sick, it is no evil. Present it now to your governor. Will he be pleased with you? Or will he accept your person? Says Yahweh of hosts. And now I pray you, entreat the favor of El, that he may be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he accept any of your persons? Says Yahweh of hosts. Oh, that there were among you that would shut the door, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says Yahweh of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun, even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name.
Amen.
For my name shall be great among the Gentiles, says Yahweh. You profane it, in that you say the table of Yahweh is polluted, and the fruit of it, even its food, is contemptible. You say also, behold, what a weariness is it? And you shall have snuffed at it, says Yahweh of hosts. And you have brought that which has taken by that was taken by violence, and the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring the offering. Should I accept this at your hand, says Yahweh? But cursed be the deceiver, who has in his flock a male, and vows the sacrifices unto Yahweh a blemished thing. For I am a great king, says Yahweh of hosts. And my name is terrible among the Gentiles. One of the things that the scribes and the Pharisees did, the leaders, and this is one of the reasons that Yahshua cleansed the temple when he came into his ministry and at the end of his ministry, because the people were taking the offerings from the common people. The priests were telling them that these offerings were not good enough. Okay? Then they would take their offerings and tell them, okay, you can buy from us. You know, with the shekel, the temple shekel, you can buy from us a worthy sacrifice. So they had their own flock, their own herd that they would pull from. They would take the what they consider blemished sacrifice, okay, and then sell them to someone else. They were pulling the fast one on the people, you might say. And Yahshua knew this. Yahshua knew that they were taking advantage of the people. The priests are supposed to be the leaders, the teachers. across the page, if you'll turn to Malachi chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should speak the law in his mouth. For he is the messenger of Yahweh." And that's what Malachi means, "my messenger." "But you have turned aside out of the way, and you have caused many to stumble in the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says Yahweh's host. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have had respect of persons in the law." Yahweh wants his people to be faithful, to have an intimate relationship with him. And for us to do that, we have to keep all of the covenant. We just can't keep part of it. We have to keep it all. Turn to Matthew chapter 18. This is a familiar passage for all of us. Matthew 18. So I'm going to start with verse 1. Matthew 18, 1. It says, "In that hour came the disciples to Yahshua, saying, 'Who then is greater in the kingdom of heaven?' And he called to him a little child and set him in the middle of them and said, 'Truly I say to you, except you turn and become as little children, you shall never enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greater in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. But whoever shall cause one of these little ones that believe on me to stumble, it is profitable for him that a great millstone should be hanged about his neck, and that he should be sunk into the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the occasions of stumbling, for it must be that the occasions come." So we see that the occasions are going to come upon the world. "But woe to that man through whom the occasions come. And if your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and cast it from you. It is good for you to enter into life, maimed or crippled, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into eternal fire." "If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is good for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes be cast into the Gehenna fire. See that you despise not one of these little ones." So Yahshua is telling us to take care of the precious little ones. We have to do right by them. "For I say to you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven." And we have to have that same intimate relationship that these angels have with the Father in heaven. We want that. For us, we have that desire. For us to get there, we have to overcome this world, this earth. We have to have the right relationship with each and every person that we come in contact with. We have to treat these young people right. For in verse 11, "The Son of Man came to save that which was lost. How do you think of any man having 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, does not leave the 99 and go to the mountain and seek that which goes astray? And if so be that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99. Which have not gone astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And if your brother sins against you, go show him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not hear you, take with you one or two more, that at the mouth of two witnesses or three, every word may be established, because we care for our brethren." That's what this is about. not so that we can condemn him, so that we can show him that this is what's right. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the assembly, the leadership. And if he refuses to hear the assembly also, let him be to you as the Gentile and the publican. Just like any other thing. Truly I say to you, whatever things you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever things you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again, I say to you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Where two or three are gathered. So it doesn't have to be a lot of people, does it? But Yahweh is faithful. He loves his people. And he wants to have that relationship with each and every one of us. And for us to have an intimate relationship with him, we have to be faithful. We have to be willing to do the things that Yahshua said. You know, he said his disciples fasted, would fast after he was gone away, which it happened. And you can read throughout the scriptures where they fasted aplenty. Okay? Ephesians chapter 1. We'll start at verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3. It said, blessed be the El and Father of our Savior, Yahshua Messiah, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing of the heavenly places in the Messiah. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love, having foreordained us to adoption as sons through Yahshua the Messiah, through himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed upon us in his beloved, in the beloved, in whom we have our redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. He forgave our sins. So none of us have any room to boast. It was because of Yahshua and his grace. According to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed him through a dispensation of the fullness of the time, to sum up all things in the Messiah, the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth. In him, I say, in whom also we were made a heritage, having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we should be to the praise of his glory, who had before hoped in the Messiah, in whom you also, having heard the word of truth, the good tidings of your salvation, in whom, having also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now each one of us that have received the baptism of Yahshua the Messiah has been sealed, has been given that down payment of the Holy Spirit, which is the earning of our inheritance. It's the down payment. It's that little portion to the redemption of Yahweh's own possession, to the praise of his glory. For this cause I also, having heard of the faith in the Master Yahshua, which is among you, and the love which you show toward all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer, that the El of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, having therefore your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. And that's the key, brother. Who believes? Because everybody that says they believe don't. Everybody that says they believe don't have the fruit. They don't show it through their actions. According to that working of the strength of his might, which was wrought in the Messiah, when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the assembly, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Brother, Almighty Yahweh wants us to have an intimate relationship with him. Almighty Yahweh is good to his children. He wants all of us to succeed and receive the kingdom. We must perfect our intimate relationship with Almighty Yahweh by by showing love one to another and to him by our faithfulness. And overcoming this world, brother, as we prepare for the Passover, let us draw closer to our Heavenly Father with a repentant heart and love for our fellow man. Our final scripture, turn to Jacob chapter 1. Or James, if you have a King James Version. But it's Jacob 1, we'll start at verse 12. It says, "Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he shall receive the crown of life, which Yahweh promised to them that love him. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of Yahweh. For Yahweh cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no man. But each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then the lust, when it has conceived, bears sin. And the sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Be not deceived, my beloved brother. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light, with whom can be no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures." Now, brother, if we're the first fruit of Yahweh's creatures, we have to be a good example to the world, not only in our discipline of fasting and praying, because that's going to draw us closer to Almighty Yahweh, but we have to heed. And we have to follow through on our original calling, which was to feed Yahweh's sheep that we saw in John 21, where Yahshua asked Peter to feed his lamb, to tend his sheep, and to feed his sheep. As we try to enter into an intimate relationship with Almighty Yahweh, we have to become closer to him by keeping every aspect of his law. Each tenet, treating our brother, our enemy, and everyone else with love, so that we can overcome this world and be Yahweh's people when Yahshua returns, and he would find the faith in the earth. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you continue to serve him and to seek to do his will. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Al if he would close with a word of prayer.
That's all, Bow. Father, we come to you, and you know that our lives are lacking. We have areas in our life where we can make improvement. We want to be your people. We want to be in a closer, more intimate relationship, as Greg was talking about spending time with you each and every day. That's how we build that's how a relationship is built, is by spending time. A husband and wife, they build a relationship by spending time together, by getting to know one another, by communicating. Help us, Yahweh, to communicate with you so that we can become the people that you want us to be. We pray that you would fill us with your Spirit so that we can manifest the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, as you see fit. We are living epistles, Father, living epistles to this world, this cold, dark, helpless, hopeless world, and they need the love of Yahweh. So we pray that you would use us. We know that we have to be fine-tuned to hear your instructions, to hear your Spirit, to hear your Word speak to us. Help us to set aside a certain part of our day. We know that the Torah speaks about the morning and evening sacrifices when the incense was offered. We know that the incense typifies our prayers ascending to the throne of heaven. Maybe, Father, we should be spending time with you twice a day, during the morning and during the evening. We should begin our day with time with you and ending our day with time with you. We just pray that you would lay it upon our hearts to do that which is pleasing in your sight. We pray for those that are on the prayer list, Father. Those people have needs. Many of them don't know you as they should. We just pray that you would work. Do what you do best. Save lives. Open hearts and minds to see the beautiful things that are in your word. We just pray, Yahweh, that you would use us to minister to these people. We give you the thanks, praise, glory, and honor that you so rightfully deserve this day on this Sabbath. We know that this is your Sabbath. This isn't our Sabbath. This isn't the Jewish Sabbath. This is Yahweh's Sabbath, the day that you have sanctified, set apart, and made holy. Each and every week, we can spend time with you. We can establish our relationship with you by keeping Shabbat. And we thank you for this Sabbath. In Yeshua's name we pray. And we also thank you for one another, because the Sabbath wouldn't be the same if we were doing it alone. But we have people of like precious faith that we can spend time with. And so we thank you for that. In the name of our Savior and Redeemer, Yeshua HaMashiach, hallelujah and amen.
For our closing song, I'm going to sing by